This is the Patty Vasquez Show. Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez, on 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
And the White Sox win tonight against the Royals. We're so excited that you're hanging out with us. It is the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. Would love to hear from you if you have any questions or thoughts. Our number is 312-981-7200. Again, that number is 312-981-7200. You can call or text to that number. If you call us, Ro Coleman, who is producing this evening, will answer your calls. Hi, Ro, with the fabulous wave.
Yes, my pageant wave with a little bit of swagger.
I love that. And how was your weekend, by the way?
It was a pretty good weekend. I spent a lot of it, honestly, just dealing with clients and not dealing with, I shouldn't say it in that way, but helping my clients out and getting ready for this week. I'm excited. Tomorrow I get to go back and visit Illinois State. So that should be fun.
Very nice.
Yes. I'm going to miss you, though.
I'm going to miss you, too. But we'll be back.
I will be back. I'll be back Wednesday.
We shall reconvene.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. And it was, I felt badly because I opened the door to Club 720, knowing when the door is closed and having slept in that room myself. I was giving a tour to a regular contributor to the Patty Vasquez Show, Dr. Daphne Scott. I wanted to show you Club 720 and tell you stories about it. And then as I opened the door, I'm like, there's probably someone sleeping in here. And it was Ro. So
it was me. Getting a little bit of rest. But I didn't mind it. Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Ro. It's really, really nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too.
Thank you.
This is you have not been here since it was warm before.
I believe. It's been a while.
So you, like, waited us out.
I did, because who wants to deal with snow in April?
Well, you tried getting in last night.
I did. It did not work.
5 inches of snow yesterday. And if there's ever a time to have a positivity expert on, it's when the weather fluctuates like this, when Midwesterners, when Chicagoans are like, okay, I just need this to be better. Can I just...
Would the sun just come out, please?
Please. But you find... I really do think that you find the positivity in so many different things, because I was asking you if, you know, for people who live here, is there a way to use spring as a catalyst to, you know, to sort of, whether it's make a restart or reset or to launch into something new, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, seasons are seasons, right? Mm-hmm. So our life has seasons, our, you know, everything. It's really this truth of change,
right?
Impermanence. So you can fight that if you want. Good luck. You
know, you can, to your detriment.
You get to your detriment because, you know, it just, you know, I fly for, you know, an inordinate amount of miles a year for my work. And, you know, flying has taught me a lot. Like, being on airplanes has taught me a lot because you just don't have any control.
No.
Like, they're like, oh, your flight, what time's your flight? I'm like, well, it says it's 3:55. You know, there's odd times. Well, it's supposed to leave at 3:55, but, you know, I don't know.
What do you think when you see, as somebody who, like, rolls with it, because you are, and everybody else at that desk with the ticket agent yelling at them, or the person at the gateway, as though that person is in charge of how flights take off and land?
Yeah, I said to the gate agent, this is a true story, actually, yesterday, I said to the gate agent, this man was just very upset. People just get very upset, you know, they're you know, from a compassionate perspective, I get it. We're all trying to get somewhere, or we wouldn't be at the airport.
Sure.
This guy just kind of unloading on the gate agent. She gets him squared away, you know, whatever. She gets rid of him. And I walk up and I'm like, it must feel amazing to know that you're God. And she looked at me kind of oddly, you know, and she's like, what? I'm like, I mean, look at how much power everyone's giving you over the weather. And at that point, she got it.
Right.
And she just started laughing, you know, because she's just doing her job.
Right.
I don't even know how they, you know, handle it. But she,
I couldn't.
And, you know, I think the part that people forget, this is a very practical part. I think the part that people forget when there's inclement weather is that the job of the airline is to keep you safe.
Right.
Like, that's your job.
And to get you where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. Secondarily, safely.
Yes.
And when it's not, they're going to choose safety first. So they're not going to put you in the air when it's unsafe, you know? So I'm always very grateful. I don't want them. I'd much rather them make a decision to keep me on the ground than take a chance.
Are you an applaud when we land kind of person? Or does it depend on the flight?
I have only ever applauded once. I was on my way back from Florida, landing at O'Hare, and it was snowing, or no, it was a storm, and they put us in a holding pattern. So we were in the air for an additional like 45 to 50 minutes, just driving, you know, just flying around in the air over O'Hare. Just, and you could see the planes above us and below us. And so they had one runway open, and they were just landing one plane basically at a time. And when we landed, people applauded, and I applauded.
Right.
Right. We landed sort of sideways. So that was also part of it. You knew the plane was not square on the runway. It was sliding just ever so slightly.
Now, when we were out tonight, you were showing me videos of tremendous landings. And I was like, I don't want to. I mean, I get the appreciation for it.
Yeah.
And I understand that these are remarkable feats of piloting.
Yeah.
On the other hand, my chest gets tight. Like, I accept what is going to, you know, what skills my pilot has.
Absolutely.
I just can't. By the way, I just said just so you know. You were mentioning.
I said earlier to Patty, she's very articulate, and I said I rarely, if ever, hear mm-hmm. you say the word
Now listeners are going to tell you how many times I said.
I know.
That.
Now everyone's going to be zeroing in.
We're going to call attention to it.
All right. Well, anyway, what you want? I'm getting my pilot's license, so I'm very interested in this sort of these phenomenal sort of feats that these pilots can.
While you're training, do you have setups where you have these extraordinary circumstances that will make it harder?
They don't let you do anything.
How about sort of in a, you know, in a controlled environment, whether it's digitally or
they'll put you in the
reality?
Sim. Yeah, they'll put you in the sim. There's very strict, and there's very strict guidelines, and there's like all types of redundancies of safety.
Okay.
So to make sure that you don't do anything goofy.
What made you decide to seek your pilot's license?
First of all, my dad flew. Okay. So when I was very, very young, and he didn't fly for very long. I think I was only in an airplane with him maybe 3 times, but he let me fly the plane, you know, hold the yoke and all that stuff. And so there was that. And then I'm on planes a lot. And I think I just thought it would be neat if I was just flying it myself. It'd be neat if I could just fly myself around.
A sense of control.
Probably.
A little bit.
Now you're getting into my psychology.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
to. That's fine.
That's your thing.
And whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I just like it. I like it. I think being in a plane is just beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful.
It is. And I someday hope to be able to fly with you.
You will? Oh, you will.
Okay.
Then. Next year.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Very, very, very close.
I'll put it on my calendar.
Yeah.
It's all good.
You really should. Write that down.
I was telling you before the show that yesterday was demoralizing when the snow. I've lived here my entire life,
your whole life,
and I was angry.
You were upset.
I couldn't stop yelling yesterday. We had a writer's circle at a very good friend of mine, Bill Gorgo, is a comedian. He invites all the comics over.
Yeah,
and we work on each other's material. And I walked in. And I just felt so angry at the weather. I had driven by so many accidents and so many other like situations where one person slid off the road.
Sure.
Even though it has been winter.
Yeah,
but we refused to drive as though it was winter. We
Come
were
on,
like,
Chicago
I know it's wins. Snowing.
Yeah,
but it's April, and I don't accept this.
And I don't, and therefore I'll just slide off the road. But it kind of came on somewhat suddenly. I guess
I feel like we knew it was going to snow yesterday.
Well,
and we ignored it. We ignored all the
No one wants to admit it.
Did you see my picture of the little snowman?
I did.
My awesome. Husband Steve made like a 5-inch snowman.
It was great.
We had a little tiny sort of derby. It was this little plastic.
You
hat
really so now see you turned a negative, Patty,
yes,
into a positive. You said we're going to embrace this. I'm going to make a snowman.
Yeah.
You might have been complaining, but you still did it.
I may or may not have put my boots away last week. My snow boots. If I say that out loud, I'm worried people will accuse me of jinxing the entire city of Chicago.
Well, that's the cross you bear.
I'm not afraid. Sure they understand how weather works.
Or the weather doesn't understand how it works.
That's fair.
It has dates.
That is fair.
It went over its expiration. I mean, March, we can get with March. We can get with a snowstorm in March, but April? I mean, and it's not like it's April 1st.
Well, and we have our sort of milestones. We have our traditions. In my house, the first snowfall, I make a big batch of chili. I make cornbread.
The first snowfall,
first
really?
First snowfall.
No, wait, like where it sticks or where it's just sort of flurrying?
Flurries. I don't care what it is. First snowfall, I make a big batch of chili.
Chili.
I don't know what to, I mean, we also have our landmarks in April, like for World Earth Day.
Sure.
We go to the forest preserve and we pick up garbage.
Oh.
We are thrown off by the system. I mean, today I saw folks walking around downtown Chicago, and no one knew how to dress today.
No, an array of clothing as well. it was just an array.
Yeah,
I'm not making this up. I saw a guy in flip flops.
Well, So Steve was telling me he saw someone yesterday in the snowstorm wearing flip-flops, and he goes, you know, you can't dress for the weather you want it to be.
Yeah, well, that guy did.
Yeah, they're flip-flops and a scarf.
And I have to be, so I lived here for almost 20 years. I'm now officially living in Oklahoma City, so I get to do this really cool thing where I'm in Oklahoma City, and then I come into Chicago, and I'm back and forth. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't know how to dress today either. I mean, I'm in a poncho.
It's a Baja shirt.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's not a poncho.
Right? Well, Baja shirt.
Poncho is more of a blanket.
Yeah, it's more of a blanket.
And, yes.
Well, this
you're
is
fine.
Kind of, I feel like it.
No, you're in a Baja
But then
shirt.
I have these like sort of suede-y boots on mm-hmm. that are not, I didn't know what to expect. So I just tried to.
You have a turtleneck on, which I appreciate.
Yeah, see?
It's cute.
I thought it's real warm in here now.
Feeling a little hot, feeling a little.
Yeah, it's a little warm. You need to turn the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't know what to expect because I woke up. And it's like 40 degrees, and then I look here, and it's like 20 degrees, and then it's like, oh, it's going to get 50, and then it's going to be 70. It's ridiculous.
The thing is, our mood changes as the weather fluctuates, and I'm looking forward to 70-degree weather personalities. Right. Don't you think, Ro? I mean, we are much more cheerful, giving, gracious, kind people when it's 70 degrees out.
Very much so. Yeah. I'll be honest with this. I'm the kind of person, if it's gloomy and dark and like snowy outside, it's hard as heck for me to get out of bed. I'm usually like, no, get me some tea.
Yeah.
I'm okay with just being here. But if the sun is out, and it's sunny outside and it's hot, you can catch me up at like 5 o'clock.
Ooh,
like, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to the gym. Life is good. So I miss it. I miss living in California where that was like,
yeah,
every day.
Get up and go. I wonder what the productivity rates are in California compared to Chicago, because
it's not any different.
No, I would also say that because it never changes, they have no sense of urgency. Chicagoans have a sense
of habituate.
Urgency.
This is one of the issues. Mm-hmm. This is why we need to cultivate, Patty, our joy, because you habituate. See,
how do you cultivate your joy, though?
Oh, Patty,
come on, help me
with everything. Yeah, you first of all, you incline your mind that way, so you choose. You have to be willing,
okay,
right? But the point that I'm making here is really like we just habituate to everything, so we just get comfortable. Like you'll habituate to cold, you habituate to the warm. People in California aren't any actually. They literally have studied this. They're not necessarily any happier than. People in Chicago.
Good.
Just so you know.
They're just busy for no reason. They are. I've met a lot of people that have a lot of busy work. You're like, oh, yeah. So what's after that? And they're like, I don't know.
See?
You know, something next.
See?
They're just in traffic.
Ro has done her own studies.
Mm-hmm.
See? And there you go.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
The 630 says, I put my boots away 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
Hashtag no jinx.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
We are going to take a break here. We're going to go to the news. And when we come back, we're going to talk to our friend Christopher Clark.
I love it.
And we're going to talk about Dining for Life, an event that you want to know more about. On April 25th, there's an incredible event that we want to tell you about. It's Dining Out for Life, an annual event that raises vital funds for HIV and AIDS service organizations. And we want to welcome to the studio Christopher Clark, who is the CEO of Test Positive Aware Network. And we want to learn more about this incredible event and the programs that you provide. Oh, and I want to say hi. Hi, Chris. Thank you for hanging out. I know I was like the Sox game ended. I'm like, hold on a second. We got to settle in. Hi.
Hi, Patty. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And of course, we have Dr. Daphne Scott in studio with us. She no longer lives in Chicago, but you know, we've done a lot of these events where you know folks come in and they tell us about you know how vital it is to participate in an evening like Dining Out for Life. Tell us a little bit about this wonderful event you have coming up.
Sure. Dining Out for Life, which is next week on Thursday, April 25th, is an event that's been around since 1991, and it takes place in cities across the United States and Canada. And since its inception, it has raised millions of dollars for organizations that are doing important work on behalf of people affected by HIV. Mm-hmm. And in Chicago, the event is produced by TPAN. The organization that I'm very proud to work for. And it is the easiest way to help a great cause. All you have to do is go out to dinner at a participating restaurant.
What?
Yeah.
I think we can do that.
Easily.
I could totally do that.
And we have over 50 participating restaurants across the city in Chicago in many, many neighborhoods. And each of our restaurant partners have very generously agreed to give a portion of the proceeds that they receive on that evening to our organization so that we can continue to do the important work that we're doing.
You have a great list. And by the way, folks can go to diningoutforlife.com and then go to your city, obviously Chicago. If you live in another city that's participating, you can go. That's on April 25th. I'll give you an example. Here in Chicago, Ann Sather is participating. You've got Chicago Dinner Lakeview. You've got, you said over 50?
Over 50 restaurants.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to read all of them for you then. These are some really good joints. And you brought us a few tiramisus from French. I know, sorry. Yeah. I know you're getting sleepy over there.
No, it's delicious.
This is from Francesca's.
Yeah, I wanted to entice the two of you to go dining out with us next week. And so I want to give a little shout out to our restaurant partner, Francesca's on Bryn Mawr, mm-hmm. who very generously donated some tiramisu that we could enjoy this evening. So
the one of us enjoyed this evening.
No, I had a bite of yours. I'm going to give the rest of Vic Vaughn because he has to be here all night long. And Roe's going to, you know, they need a
I'm giving
bit
you
of
the
sugar
rest of mine. There's it's like a quarter.
I'll let you know. It'll definitely go to good use in my hands. I will be eating
it. That makes me feel better about giving it up.
That's great.
Nice. And the Marquesa is going to be participating. Replay. We love Replay.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I believe we had a celebration there
one
night.
Yes, we did.
A lot of video games and stuff.
I don't even remember what we were celebrating, but we did go.
We'll talk
sometimes
about it
happens.
You sort of forget.
It's all good stuff.
Yeah, it's fine.
And how did this come about? What was the sort of genesis? Do you happen to know the history of Dining Out for Life?
You know, it started you know, in the early 90s when HIV was really, you know, devastating, mm-hmm. you know, great members of our community, you know, in all sorts of different sectors. And there really was no effective treatment for HIV. But there was an important need for resources for people who were being affected by HIV. And so it started as a philanthropic effort to just, you know, do as much as we can to work toward a cure, to work toward treatment. And, you know, the important thing to remember now is that although we've made enormous strides in, you know, turning HIV really into a chronic medical condition for many people, it still affects people very deeply.
Of course.
And the access to healthcare and treatment is critical to managing HIV. And unfortunately, many people still do not have access to effective healthcare. And what we're seeing, you know, to this day is that HIV still disproportionately affects people of color. Mm-hmm. And that's where our organization steps in. So we provide important healthcare and support services to the community. And we're very proudly now sort of a one-stop shop in Edgewater for healthcare, primary healthcare with our partner Howard Brown Health. We provide mental health services and support services for people affected by HIV and other medical conditions. And I'm really proud that just this last year we opened a youth drop-in center that provides a safe space for primarily homeless and other youth who are housing challenged. And the great thing about the drop-in center is it provides a gateway for those vulnerable youth to our other services.
Because a part of that is, you know, not just encouraging those who are affected, you know, whether themselves or family members who are trying to come to grips with the reality, is also to empower them with the information of how do you manage this. Right.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, education is an important part of our mission. In addition to providing all the great services that we provide in Chicago, we're also the only not-for-profit organization that produces a nationally distributed magazine about HIV care and wellness. And it's called Positively Aware. And if folks want to check it out, they can go to our website, www.positivelyaware.com.
And what brought you to TPAN?
I have been sort of working in the LGBT advocacy space for over a decade. I'm a lawyer by training. And for many, many years, I did LGBT legal work. So I was a civil rights lawyer for the national organization Lambda Legal. Mm-hmm. And in the course of that work, I started working on behalf of people who were affected by HIV. And, you know, to this day, unfortunately, folks who are HIV positive still face an enormous amount of discrimination and stigma. And so there was a lot of legal work that I became involved in, and I started to become interested in sort of doing more direct service work on behalf of the people who I felt, you know, kind of needed that sort of service. So That's where I'm at now.
So you can see them directly benefit from this sort of outreach that is available.
That's exactly right. I mean, every day when I go to work, I walk through the lobby and you can see folks who are waiting to meet with a mental health therapist, waiting for a doctor's appointment, waiting to use our free walk-in testing service. And, you know, the other thing I want to emphasize is everything that we do at TPAN is absolutely free of charge to all of our clients.
Wow. That's impressive.
It is. And, you know, when we were growing up, I mean, you know, in the 80s, this was a death sentence. And it was also a lot of shame and anger involved with the way stories were told. I mean, you think of Ryan White and just this kid who had developed AIDS as a result of a blood transfusion and the kind of vitriol that was directed at him. But obviously, you know, it was also a way to attack the gay population and be like, well, you brought this on. And it continues to be a way that people, well, this, you know, this is a way of being punished. And it's really, I mean, there are human beings who are, you know, living and surviving and thriving in ways that we'll never understand. And we also, you're right, there's this idea that, well, we've taken care of that, isn't there? We've come so far with medicine and technology, and there's so much farther to go.
That's exactly right. We have come such a long way in terms of medical care, but what is true is that you need to take care of the whole person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And someone who is wrestling with HIV often faces issues of discrimination, stigma. They're feeling isolated, depressed, and that's a lot of the services that we provide. Just last week, we introduced a new program that's really designed to address some of the issues of depression and isolation, and it's called Pause and Effect. Mm-hmm. And it is pairing dogs in need of a home with HIV positive clients who are seeking that connection that you can get from canine companionship. So it's a first, we believe, first of its kind in the nation. That's a pilot program that's testing what happens when you pair a dog in need with someone who is struggling with isolation or depression.
Yeah.
There's a lot of studies that show that that really helps you from a mental health standpoint, and we're going to be bringing it to Chicago in the coming months. We're really excited about it.
Well, because it makes a difference to have sort of, you know, a companion. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And also a companion that doesn't have any judgment.
Exactly.
You know, like my dog, I come home, you know, I always tell people that nothing is permanent, nothing's pervasive, and nothing's personal. And my dog is a very good example of nothing being pervasive. Like, I can have the worst day of my life and she does not care. Right. Like, I know I'm going to get home and that creature doesn't, you know, she wants to go for a walk and play, and she doesn't, it just, anything that happened doesn't pervade every aspect of my life. And that's a real empowering thing, you know?
That's exactly what we're trying to sort of tap into. And, and the other thing we're hoping to test is one of the critical parts of treating HIV is to be taking your medication regularly.
Yeah.
And some people struggle with that.
Sure.
And so what many studies have shown that if you have a pet and you are responsible for taking care of the pet, you take better care of yourself.
Yeah. Huh.
So if you're in the habit of every morning you got to get up and take the dog out for a walk, that's when you can take your medication. You can sort of get on a schedule, and we're going to sort of be testing that proposition. We're really excited about it. I was talking to one of our mental health therapists yesterday, and she was sharing with me that she'd been working with a client who's really struggling with some depression surrounding their HIV diagnosis, but just lit up when they heard about this program and about being able to partner with the dog. So we're really excited about it.
That's cool.
And the Dining Out for Life event helps us do these types of programs.
That's amazing.
Again, yeah, it's really awesome.
Dining out for life, it is. And you know, some people get defensive, or when they hear certain types of vocabulary, they're like, what do you mean by a safe space? Why do you have to say people of color or people, you know, LGBTQ? And you're like, and they're like,
who says that? White people say that?
Define
what do you mean
normal
by people of color?
Well, that's right. It's like they say define normal, and you're like, but, you know, it's like, what are you talking about? Why? The conversation is, there are people who go into their defense mechanism. It's almost as though they need a safe space to be shielded from language that other people use, don't you think?
Yeah, and you know, the truth is that this is a problem that is disproportionately affecting certain groups in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to acknowledge that and own it and deal with it.
Yeah.
And you know, you can quibble about people's choice of words or the language or whatever, but that is the reality that we're dealing with.
Right.
You know, most of the young people who are coming to our drop-in space, who we are then able to say, when's the last time you've been to see a doctor? And when you find out that it's been a while, we say, okay, we can connect you today with an appointment with a doctor. That's a great thing. We should all be celebrating that.
Good.
That is connecting somebody who could benefit from healthcare with healthcare. Well, and that's yeah. about helping other people.
Yeah, and there's also this naivety about downstream costs and not acknowledging that, you know, when there's a person like yourself or a group like yourself who are taking care of a lot of these disenfranchised groups of people who don't have access to healthcare, what people don't understand is that cost is going to show up somewhere. So in a very practical sort of way, let's pull the emotion out of it. First of all, let's pull the emotion out of it that we want to take care of other humans, okay? If you can't get with that, then get with your logic that if you don't take care of these humans, there are going to be downstream costs to unaddressed healthcare. And that has absolutely been proven and shown time and time again. If you don't get regular dental care, you absolutely will develop diseases that will affect your heart, and you're going to end up in the hospital anyway. So we might as well just take care of it now. Right. And so if you can't get with the compassionate part of yourself, you know, Patty, I think what you were saying about, you know, people getting all riled up
defensive.
About
safety,
yeah, whatever.
Well, and the power of the smallest effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can have such a dramatic impact on someone.
Go out and eat.
That's just inspirational. I mean, that's
totally
that's about being human.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think we forget that sometimes.
We do. Yeah. And that's what we want to. We want to be able to share that sentiment. Again, Dining Out for Life, Chicago, benefiting TPAN. Again, let us know what TPAN stands for.
We were originally the Test Positive Aware Network. Now we just go by TPAN because we are more than just testing. We are more than even just treating people with HIV. We're a full service sort of healthcare organization for all people affected by HIV, including people who are negative but are in need of education and testing and medical assistance and mental health services. So check us out at www.tpan.com.
And then you can find their event coming up on April 25th over 60. Is it 60 restaurants?
Coming up on 50 or 60? Between 50 and 60.
We like it.
And
plenty.
We're still signing them up. So
if anyone, we have a lot of restaurant owners and managers who are listening. I know that we have friends that are driving home after their shift who sometimes join the show. So if you're, or, you know, when the restaurants close, they turn on the talk radio, and we're grateful for that. So if you want to participate, you can find our friends at TPAN.
Yes, I encourage any restaurant that's interested in participating to contact us. Again, visit our website or call TPAN and ask for me.
There you go.
That's Christopher Clark, CEO for TPAN. Thank you so much. And thank you for Francesca for sending over some tiramisu. And we'd love to have you back in studio whenever you have something you want to talk about.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the All Saints Skyline studio, and I am a little bit, Ro, this is kind of fantastic because you, of course, know comedian Paul Farvar Esquire, is a regular on the show on Monday nights. We've all gotten to know each other a little bit. This is your first time hanging out with Dr. Daphne Scott, who was a regular on the show, was one of the cornerstones when I started building this show.
Yeah.
I
was around.
I miss you.
We met once, and that was it.
Yeah. I couldn't let go of you. I collect people. Does that sound bad? Is there a better way to put that?
Doesn't sound creepy at all, Patty. Not at all.
How else can I put it? That I can't accumulate people?
We latch on.
You keep a strong network.
There it is. I like collecting people.
She keeps a strong network.
I don't mean like I have a, you know,
just a bunch of leeches.
I'm not like in your window in the middle of the night going, what are you doing now? What are you doing now?
Yeah. How come you haven't called me?
Right. So you and I have known each other for 5 years.
Yeah.
I would
five
say.
5 years, yeah.
And I revealed something to you that it took Paul less time to learn. Dr. Daphne Scott, of course, our positivity expert.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's my nickname, too.
Yes. No, it's not at all, even close. Not.
Oh, that's right.
So Daphne will laugh at my foibles and enjoy the sort of chaos that is my life. Paul actually Paul's been there for a lot of the stress and has weathered a lot of it with me. So I appreciate that. The phone calls that you would get, I often like put my poor friends through the stress that I'm going through. They'll call me and say that I can't sleep because of what you're going through right now.
Yeah.
And I feel badly for that.
Yeah.
But Dr. Daphne was, I believe, she almost threw herself out of our booth while we were having dinner when I said to her, and I go, you know that band Leonard Skinner?
No, that's not what you said. This is how she said it. She goes,
oh, you don't know about this.
Oh, no, I had no idea about this, even though I've known her for 5 years. And what's ironic is that I'm a musician and I play music and I sing music. Anyway, she says to me at dinner, she says, I guess there's this band called Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And I literally didn't even look at her. I just put my head in my hands and just sat there. She's like, no. She tries immediately to retreat. You know, I'm like, nothing you're gonna say now.
I keep a lot of the stories saved from my Instagram stories of Patty's appalling lack of knowledge about music, which is so bizarre, especially in this situation, because she's so knowledgeable on so many different things.
Yeah, and in a radio station.
Yeah, and you work at a radio station.
It's talk radio, Ro.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
The things that, like, you know, we'll be just sitting in my car and I'll put a song will come on. I'm like, okay, this is a staple of the 90s.
Yeah.
She'll know this. And not only does she not know it, but the guesses of what the are even more
are appalling.
Appalling.
It's a segment called Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge, which we will be playing.
We should play it tonight.
We should.
I know some songs. I've had a few that I'm like, will Patty know? Because there's certain things she has really good knowledge of. Like if it was in a movie, yeah, she'll know it.
Okay.
There's some prep work involved because you have to give Ro a list of songs. Okay,
we just need three songs.
Okay, so we'll write them down and then pass them along to Ro because Daphne has a heart out. She's got to be in bed by midnight.
Okay. So, I didn't know that part.
Allegedly. All right, so we can take a break in a minute. We'll give some songs to Ro. We're going to bring in Chris, who is our musician for Music Monday tonight.
I think he has a setup. Yep, but
okay.
And Chris Corsell, he's amazing.
Is it Monday? Today's Monday?
It is.
Oh, man.
I know. You were supposed to be here on Sunday, which would be a weird time.
That's why I'm all, yeah.
Yeah, Karen Conti would not meet.
Also because of my time machine. It really messes me up.
So, I mean, like, so here, let me just, how about if I test you first then? Like, so.
Who, me?
No, Daphne. Let me see how good she is. Let's see how this is.
Oh, come on.
I would not be able to guess
that. Kidding me? Are you kidding me?
The best
it's
is
your
that,
home city.
But the best is
the
that.
The band is Chicago.
But Dr. Daphne, like, she thinks she, like, is like, oh, let's see if you know. And it doesn't faze her that this is, like, everyone knows
right,
these
everyone
songs
knows
above
this.
A surname.
Oh, my. Okay, come on. Save by zero.
Really?
Come on. Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second.
Where are you getting these songs? I'm just curious where you're...
Hold on. So
like, she's like, oh, what is this? Let me hit this one. Let me hit this one. She won't know this one.
She's pretty angry.
She's disgusting herself now. She's like, oh, even I know that one.
No, I don't know Boz Scaggs.
Are you serious?
I'm positive.
Oh, I thought that was Jackson Brown.
No, that was Boz Scaggs.
Patty has a playlist of music she has no idea what it is.
I know, she's just like, I'm surprised she even knows a music site. I'm like, what site is that you're using? She doesn't even,
so I'm
surprised.
I'm picking out ones that I don't know that they sang that song and playing it, and just, that's the best I have, right? So, like, right. I wouldn't guess OMD. No, I would not guess that. I don't know.
That's from a movie.
You should know
pretty,
that one.
Is it Pretty in Pink? Which one's that from?
Yeah, it's right at the end.
All right, then. Oh, here we go. How about this one? Why won't my whole right column go?
No, this that's a remake.
This is a cover, though.
Yeah, it's a cover. That doesn't count.
Jeez.
Do you know who the original artist was, though? No, you don't.
She does now.
It says it's King Curtis. I don't know what that means.
You know, you gotta be careful. Listen, you have to be careful because you're pulling up covers and now you're gonna think that's the original artist.
It's not, don't
we're
gonna
have all kinds of trouble.
I do not know this band at all.
You know the original.
Patty, you can't tell me you don't know this band.
I know I don't know Tool. I know Tools. I know plenty of Tools. I know all the Tools. So many Tools in my life.
Let's see. I'm gonna
You have to know this one.
I'm touching all the ones that I would never guess that was the band that sang that song.
This is a great song.
It is a great song. I don't know who T-Rex is.
Now, listen, in fairness to you, I will give you this much. There are some of these bands that you're playing, these are very popular hits, but the band itself, that they were kind of a one-hit wonder. So... Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, you have to know the song. You've never heard the song?
I know it. I mean, I've heard the song. I would not guess Sugarloaf.
Oh, so you're getting into, like, you want to know the band song. I think for you, Patty, we should just start with the basics. Like, just know the song.
No, that's not going to happen.
Just know the name of the song, I think, is a good stretch for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's this?
You don't know this one either?
Always something to remind me, right?
Yeah, there's always something there to remind me.
Sure. But I would not guess. What's Naked Eyes? Is that a band?
Yeah. It's a band.
Why are you laughing? What is this?
What is this?
I've got to put
you
that
know
somewhere
what?
Else.
It's funny. I just listened to this the other day when I was taking a shower, getting ready for work.
Well, to be fair, Daphne also listens to throat chanting. So
I do. I that sounds horrible the way these. It's not. That's not. It's Tibetan chanting.
Tibetan. Yeah. I'm sorry, but their throat.
Yeah. That was a funny episode.
Ro does not. Ro's like, no, do not like.
I think we should just. I've got.
There are certain things that you just.
I know this one.
Yeah.
Yes, Paul.
I want to see. Here's what I think we should do, because I can play these on my. I can play these, and I'm gonna see if you'll know it before Ro knows it, because the song's from.
Oh, now we're into something.
I think Ro, because she's so young, might actually know more than you just from.
Yeah, Ro, we know Ro knows more than
I do. Depends on the decade.
Okay. No, I know. I'm saying,
like, don't go over my head now.
Pre-2000.
I'm oldies like, R&B, like the oldies? That's about as far. Oldies like, R&B I can do.
Okay.
So,
but not oldies like Duran Duran.
I have three songs that...
Absolutely not.
Do you know this? Anybody? Anyone?
No.
I would never guess this.
This sounds like something you just made up.
I would wear a swan around my neck when I was singing it. You know what I'm talking about? It's Bjork.
That's Bjork. Look, Charles Barkley, it's snowing.
Now, I feel like this is a musician I should know when I hear their music, but I would never guess this.
Oh, come on.
Yep, I would never say Bruce Hornsby.
Really?
Nope.
All right, Patty, I have a song for you. Okay. Let's see if you can guess this.
All right, here we go.
Phil Collins. Was it Phil Collins?
No,
yeah, Phil.
Don't,
Genesis?
Don't make any signs.
Oh, okay. Make sounds, okay. What okay. song is it? No.
No, just know? Name the band. If you can name the band, so I Genesis. Would give you credit. Just give it a second. Because, I mean, you would remember this is from 1986.
Yeah.
Patty, who is this? What artist or band is this?
Didn't I just say two things?
Well, say your final answer. 10, 9. It's eight,
Row, you got anything?
Seven. Yeah,
that's over my head, love.
Four,
she's
three,
like, I wasn't even
just
born.
Say anything.
Don't second guess yourself, Patty.
No, it's Phil Collins.
Okay.
Was it Genesis?
Nope. Peter Gabriel.
Oh, yeah.
You were close.
And that I was, said I guess, say anything, which say was like anything. A hint.
I wouldn't guess that. Mm. That was good. That was a good
that
hint.
Was, it was a good, but it was a really, and it was a really good guess.
But it was incorrect.
Okay.
It was wrong. You said.
Oh, this is a little harder. Let's see.
That,
if you get this wrong,
Paul,
I'm going to be
Paul
so
Simon.
You.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Paul
that's
Simon.
So one for two.
Good job.
All right. Well, all right. Here's one that I don't know if who will get this first.
Uh-oh.
No,
she's
it's still playing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's that? I don't have it.
It's sort of got this haunting sound to it when it's played far away from the microphone.
Yeah, he's like.
So yeah, Daphne, will you see me differently now that you've learned this about me?
No.
Surprising.
No, I'll see you just the same.
Okay. Which I don't know what that means. I'm kind of hurt by that. Paul, we got to go one more before the break.
You want one more?
Yeah.
He is really digging into his
archives. No, I'm trying to find something that's a little easier.
Oh,
like I would know this, I think.
Oh, I would hope so.
Although more this
Peace
one.
Frog?
More, no, I wouldn't say Peace Frog, but I would
the
know.
The Doors.
This I know. Break On Through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. But the other one was Peace Frog.
How about this?
This is it.
Like, I feel like I should have known this.
Yeah, you should.
Okay, here. What about?
Okay.
Nirvana.
Oh!
You got it.
A lot of pressure. More after this on 720 WG. It smells like Teen Spirit around here. Paul Farvar looks like he has something to say.
I have one more that I just want to watch your reaction, because I know Ro will know this.
We are again dipping into Patty's appalling lack of musical knowledge, which will be live. We'll be playing it live at Stage 773 for Nerdfest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No. Halloween. We're listening.
I automatically know this.
What?
I automatically know this. Can I say
of course.
This?
Yeah. No, not yet. Let's just hear Patty's answers. You already know it. We know Ro knows it. We know Dr. Daphne knows it. Yeah. I believe Chris will also know it in a second.
In a second. This seems like another second. Wow, everyone started dancing.
And I always thought something wrong.
That's not the artist singing, that's Ro singing. Yeah. You don't want to throw off
Ro's? Keep singing.
Ro's laying down a track.
Okay. I can't sing very well.
Wait till the vocals start, Patty. Are you cheating?
It's not going to help. No, I'm looking up Chris's bio, actually.
All right, here we go. Who's this?
Daphne, do you know? Oh, we're breaking stuff.
I got it. I caught it.
He swore it in the song.
Yeah, in the very beginning.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Good job, bro.
Okay.
Okay, Patty, who do you guess that was?
He's a huge butthole.
What?
That's accurate.
He's a Chicago native.
Yep, and he is not in good shape right now.
He got in some trouble recently.
His wife has been married several different times.
He what?
His wife has been married to a bunch of different
famous
celebrities.
Wife who has her own television program.
Her whole family.
So the Kardashians. So that's Kanye.
Yeah,
that's Kanye.
Good job.
That's Kanye.
Good job.
That was after his mother died and he started going crazy. There's that.
It's like, love you, Kanye.
Let's keep playing this game of depressing songs.
Chris Corsell, how do I say your last name, Chris?
Corsell.
Corsell joins the studio for Music Monday. He has a big event coming up with Paul Favre. No, he does not. I wish he did.
He's not performing at the anniversary party.
He just joins us fresh from working at the Old Town School of Music, which is one of our favorite destinations here in Chicago. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about where you're from, Chris.
Well, I am currently from Chicago.
Currently?
I spent the first half of my life in Jersey.
Oh, really?
And then I came to Chicago to check it out for a year, and it's been 23 years, and so that's, you know.
Why did you want to check out Chicago?
I had friends that were living out here, like they'd gone to school out here and then started living here year-round, and they were giving me like the steady pull, like friends from back home. They're like, we'll put the band back together, come on. And so I thought, well, let me check it out, and then that was it.
You were done?
Yeah.
Like it was Bruce Springsteen. He was like, come back, we'll put the band back together, Chris. You're like, no, man, I gotta stay in Chicago.
Yeah. If I get the call from Bruce.
I gotta stay out here, man. I'm sorry. You gotta go home without me. Try to do what you can.
Patty, you know where Bruce Springsteen's from now, right?
From New Jersey?
Yep. Just making sure you understood what was.
Patty's like, why would Bruce Springsteen be calling him? That's just a weird reference.
For bonus, Patty, who else is a famous musician from New Jersey?
Oh, here we go.
Frank Sinatra. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that true?
That counts, yeah.
Yeah, that counts. That wasn't who we were thinking of, but that counts.
You're thinking of the Jonas Brothers.
It is. I mean, it is your life, Patty.
Yeah, right.
It is your life.
Hold on a second. Let me think about it. I don't have anybody else. Who else should I?
Rhymes with Moncovi.
Bon Jovi. I got
there you. There you go.
I don't think I have any. I should have some. Oh, here we go. There we go.
You're like a DJ. Just dropping tracks.
I feel a little more powerful. Anyway, which do you prefer as a native of New Jersey? Is it Bruce or Bon Jovi?
I mean, I love them both, but it's Bruce. It's Bruce all the way.
Yeah.
I'd
have to.
I deeply love them
both. Apples and oranges. But
yeah.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
And actually, one of the gigs I have coming up is a Bruce Springsteen tribute. That's going to be really, really a lot of fun.
Where is that going to be?
Space in Evanston.
Oh, what a great venue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love
led
that.
It's this band, Badlands, led by John Mead, who's another Old Town School of Folk Music guy. And man, he can pick a set list. Like, he will go, he'll play the hits, but he'll go really deep into some weird songs, which is how I spent my afternoon today, just learning.
Oh, really?
Bruce songs, yeah.
When you're gearing up for a performance like that, I mean, how do you collaborate as far as like what that rundown is going to be, what the set list will be?
In a situation like that, John gives us the set list and that's it.
That's it. Right.
And then, yeah, and I play in other bands where there's, you know, seven of us in the band, but I'm the guy that does the set list, and then we either obey it or disregard it on stage,
depending on what happens. Yeah. Right.
So sometimes I call the shots, sometimes not.
What was your first instrument? Was it guitar?
No, recorder, like everybody.
Oh, there you go. Everyone always says that, but I never.
That's right.
I transferred into a parochial school where they had just ended the recorder part. They didn't have recorders after that, and everyone knew how to play the. Did you play a recorder?
I did not.
No,
Paul.
My first instrument was a cornet.
A clarinet? Really?
Cornet. It's like a trumpet.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's aggressive.
And then it was 10 years.
It is. Like, yeah. Wow. How about you, Ro? Did you play any instruments?
The only instrument I can play is the recorder. So
really?
Really?
Yeah. I want to learn something else, but the recorder is where I started.
All right. Yeah. So a lot of people started on the recorder.
I was a percussionist. I started off on the drums.
Oh.
I didn't look back.
No.
It didn't look bad.
Yeah, once you play drums, I wonder how many drummers make the transition to anything. Because there's something so powerful about that.
Yeah, you're just back there.
Not that there's, you know, just saying, if you start there.
Not that there's anything wrong with a cornet.
Unless you're...
No, I was a guitarist. That was my main instrument as an adult.
Yeah, I play the guitar now.
No more djembe for you?
I still play the djembe.
Yeah, I have a djembe. Yeah.
Oh, you guys, next thing you have to bring
in? We can have a drum.
A jam session.
Chris, do you play the djembe?
No, I aspire. My girlfriend and I are talking about splitting a djembe.
Splitting? Wow.
We're going to have a house djembe.
You guys are taking it to the next level,
that's
huh?
Right. Wow.
How did you land at the Old Town School of Music?
I was up there, I'd always lived in the neighborhood and knew about it, and then there was a songwriting class going on, and someone I was dating back at the time was taking the songwriting class, and I thought, well, I like to write songs too, and so I started taking it too, and at some point the teacher there could see that I knew what I was talking about, and he just sort of gave me the hey man, are you gonna start working here or what?
Oh,
it was sort of like,
that's gotta feel good.
Yeah, it was really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love
it. They kind of made a place for me.
Oh,
it was really nice.
That's great. We're gonna catch up more with Chris Cosell when we come back. Some live music with him. Where can people find out more about your work?
ChrisCosell.com.
Excellent. More after. Are you taking off? Are you done? I think you're done. It's bedtime for you, Dr. Daphne.
Yep.
All right. Let's say goodbye after this break.
Okay.
All right, then. Dr. Daphne's learning even more how appalling my lack of musical knowledge is. Are you ever going to be able to talk to me again?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to judge you for that. I'll judge you for other stuff.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. How can people find you and follow you on the social media and the internet?
Yeah. On Twitter, at Daphne Scott. You can find me at my website, www.daphne-scott.com, and Facebook, if you like it, DS Leadership Life. So.
DS Leadership Life. We look forward to having you back.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back.
I know you're coming back in the summer for a wonderful event.
Yes, I'm getting married in August. I'm very excited about that.
You're getting married at the Art Institute.
I am.
Is that the reception or also the
whole shebang is...
What is that like to be, you know, planning at a Chicago landmark?
It is absolutely amazing. I feel so just blessed and full of gratitude for the whole experience.
You're getting married amongst one of the greatest art collections in the world.
Yeah. And we have a gallery viewing, so the guests can go up and see part of it. It's in the modern wing, so they can go up and see. You know, I mean, the Warhols are right upstairs. I mean, come on. It's craziness.
That's a good way to start your wedding.
Yeah.
We're in the Warhols.
The Warhols, they're right upstairs. And also the weird surgical instrument display that they have, they still don't understand. But anyway, it's up there.
Go pick out your favorite weapon.
Yeah, right, basically.
Yeah, fine. Have a great trip back. Be safe.
Yeah, thanks.
Look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks, Patty. Thanks for having me.
We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Comedian Paul Farver, Esquire, joins us. Coming up in a little bit, it'll be time for What's Paul Eating?
We're going to give some prizes away, right, Pat?
We are going to give away a Lou Malnati's gift card. We will also have for the runner-up, we will have a indoor weather station. So
I got stuff I can maybe give away.
All right, then we'll see. We'll see what happens. And joining us in studio is Chris Cosell, and thrilled to have you in tonight for Music Monday.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, you are a singer-songwriter, so this is an original song that you have for us tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the incredible engineer Dan Long has instructed me to do this, so we can have some a little bit. Do you want a little bit of reverb
to make it awesome? Oh yeah,
to make it awesome.
Sure.
Here, is this too much reverb? Hold on, let's see.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, that's too much. Yeah, he said to keep it here, but I thought I would just play with it for a
second.
Production.
Okay.
So we are going to take it away. What song are you going to play for us?
It's called Love, Love, Love.
Take it away.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Easy sport, easy chair. Won't last two more rounds if you don't slow it down. You're fighting the air and you're losing. Whoa, 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 there will come a day when you find the slipper fits. And love, 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 it's not what you thought it was. Love, 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 it lift everybody up. Love, 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 it's not your enemy. Love, 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 it's hard even in the best times. Love, love, love is everything in less of time. So why can't love just be enough for you? Hey, yeah, yeah, and our age, put it away. You can stop worrying about if it's safe to come out. The sun is shining on you. And love, love, love is not what you thought it was. Love, 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 you lift everybody up. Love, 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 it's not your enemy. And love, love, love's hard even in the best of times. And it's everything in lesser times. Oh, it's not your enemy now. Love, 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 love's hard in the best of times. And it's everything in lesser times. Love, love, it's not your enemy. Love, 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 love.
All right, one more.
Love, 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 love's hard in the best of times, and it's everything in lesser times. So why can't love just be enough?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Thanks.
That was wonderful. That was Chris Corsell, and he is a. Where else can people find you, by the way? I don't want to you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Isolate you to just the Old Town School of Music.
Instagram?
No, not Instagram.
We're all echoey. I'm gonna turn that down. You're not on Instagram?
I'm not on Instagram.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I got a whole story.
Oh, tell me your story about why you're not on Instagram.
Well, first tell us where people can find you, because they just heard it and they're like, what's going on?
Where can I find that?
Yeah. You can go to chriscorsell.com. I also play with a really good band, the rightnow.com, and we tour all over the place.
A really good band.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good band.
You don't want to say outstanding?
Yeah.
You
don't want
to commit. What you're supposed to say is thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll take that.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
So why are you not on Instagram?
Yeah. Why'd you get banned from Instagram? What'd you do, Chris?
I banned myself from Instagram. So I'm probably the only guest, maybe the only person you will ever have that doesn't have a cell phone. Have never had a cell phone.
I just met someone this weekend.
Really?
A bartender. Gosh, what bar does he work at? But he was telling me he was carrying around a Samsung Note 4, and he only uses Wi-Fi on it, though. He does not have a cell phone number and believes that he is off the grid somehow because of that.
It's, yeah.
I have a number for you. That's not your cell phone?
It's a Google number.
Oh.
So, boring story.
Well, let's hear the Instagram. Why you got banned from Instagram.
No, he doesn't have a cell phone.
I didn't get banned. I just don't, you know.
How can you upload
you can
it?
Have, participate in
you
it.
Can have Instagram on your computer.
You can, but that's
you
a lot of...
You can't participate in it, though.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
No. It's cool. I'm all good.
All right. No, we're not asking if you're all good. But are you on the run? Or
yeah.
Nowadays it kind of feels like it, but right. No, it's like
so you just avoid detection is your goal?
No, it's like I think I like the idea that when I leave the house, that's it.
Right.
You know, and like when people are like, but I didn't know where you were, I'm like, yeah, that's okay.
You're right.
It's
forever unplugged. I like.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not alone. Just so you know, you are not alone.
Really?
You are my first guest, yes.
Okay.
As far as that goes.
All right.
But I just, as I've said, I met someone this weekend who's doing the same thing. He doesn't have credit cards either.
Huh.
Oh, see? You thought that you were, well, just. Yes. Yeah. You're like, what? What?
I got all the other stuff. I mean, you know, I'm as addicted to
you're like, I'm not crazy.
Screen.
My brother doesn't have any social media. He's never had social media or a website or anything like that. And he also, he's a neurosurgeon. But he also has an iPhone 4 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
My husband has never been on social media. People tag me, his friends from high school, grade school, they'll tag me in photos so that he can see them. And he's like, untag that.
Yeah. I haven't gone that far. And I try to stay off of Facebook, but it's not working.
No. So you have, do you have a Facebook account or do you have it through somebody else?
No, I have an account. And then there's,
but
a,
you go online.
There's like a music page for my stuff too, you know.
Right, for and promoting and everything like that.
Yeah, it's like I can't, you know, let's not go nuts. You know?
Completely checked out.
Can you imagine how much more popular you would be if you had an Instagram page?
Oh, it'd be huge.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There's the out for yourself.
Actually, I was just going to say, like, that's...
Yes.
What? Actually, Facebook is more powerful in that way. Hmm. It's interesting as it is. Facebook is where a lot of people who become, like, Insta-famous start out on. They get their following there, and then a lot of their following kind of follows them.
If the, when they go over to Instagram, they get it, they build it up on Facebook.
Yep.
That's totally what I'm doing.
There you go.
Just spend my time.
Yeah, no, I knew that entirely. So you don't do Twitter either? I don't blame you.
Twitter was the first platform that showed up where I was just like, oh, I think this is my stop. Like, I think I'm good.
And
you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
I don't blame you.
Each one that comes up is just,
it's a lot of mental clutter. It's a lot of going on.
It feels that way. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff, and I miss out on some stuff, but not.
Yeah, not enough.
Not enough to make me join.
My thing is actually to start being on Twitter more. Actually, that was my new resolution. Not New Year's, but like last month, I've been trying to force myself to do more Twitter.
I need to go through to
post, not just watch.
Well, there are comics who put some of their jokes out there, and you know the time hop on Facebook. I realize I need to go through and just not put jokes on there, but also put them somewhere where I use them. Because I found a joke from 2 years ago, and I was like, how did I forget that? And it sort of inspired a whole bunch of writing yesterday, which I had dated a boy in college who, I was actually in grad school, and he said, he told me I made him feel stupid because I used big words. And he said, I feel like I need to carry a thesaurus around when I'm with you. And I said, dictionary, you need a dictionary.
Yeah.
Go, Patty.
Well, he just served it up, right?
I really did. I mean, I didn't mean to, but it was like, you're not even using the right word. We're after this. 312-981-7200. Join our conversation anytime. Coming up after this break, it's time to play. Oh, what's Paul eating? Mm-hmm. Now what's Paul eating?
To win a pizza.
He's not supposed to snack at night, and he knows that, but he does it right here on our microphones, and you have to guess what he's eating. Sometimes it's something healthy. Sometimes it's in between. Sometimes it's junk food. Mm-hmm. And we'll give you a Lou Malnati's gift card if you can guess what's Paul eating. And our runner-up will receive an indoor weather station. More when we come back on 720 WGN. As we roll into Tuesday, we're so happy that you're joining us. And don't forget, if there's anything that you missed from the show or you want to catch up on what happened earlier, maybe you're about to drift off to sleep, all of our shows are podcast at WGNradio.com. You can also find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to The Patty Vasquez Show. If you have a smart speaker, you can just say, play The Patty Vasquez Show, and it will do that for you as well. I have to touch base with a listener from the 301 who says he might not be able to listen to us late at night anymore. And he messaged on Friday, and I didn't get a chance to get to him. So in case he stayed up late just to see, I will email you back. And Paul will miss you, and I hope you get to listen to the podcast. Maybe you're listening during the day, and we'll catch up with you. So please feel free to email me, and always great to hear from you.
There's different Paul.
Different, not you, Paul. From Maryland, our friend. Mm-hmm. We've been keeping him awake at night. So it's like, hey, take care of yourself. Listen to the show when you can on podcast. So hi, Paul. And I'm sure he'll be sad to be missing a live version of What's Paul Eating? Which is a game created by Paul Farvar for our listeners, because this is the medium of sound. Yes.
Yeah,
I can't remember why you came up with this.
I think we were trying to balance. We were involved in a lot of deep conversations that were, you know, stressful things that were happening in the world a couple years ago. And I just wanted to think of something that's lighter.
Chewing with your mouth open was what you came up with.
And give people an opportunity to guess what I'm eating.
So musician, singer-songwriter Chris Corsell joined us in studio as well. Do you know this about Paul, that he likes to make people guess what he's eating?
Just, I don't know this.
A strange little hobby of his. Yes.
First of all, Pei, this is how rumors get started. I don't do this anywhere else other than on your show.
I don't believe you. I think you just put your hand over. Guess what I'm eating?
I don't chew with my mouth open. You said that once on an episode, and people now think I'm a bad eater, which I'm not.
He's not. I've eaten with him. I've broken bread with him many times.
Many times.
many times.
Always close my mouth.
Yes, he does.
Don't chew loudly. Just here so people can guess. and I want to win them prizes.
There was that one time though when we were at a restaurant and he was so hungry. So nervous for my safety.
I tried that skip a meal thing. It didn't work.
Yeah, that was did not end well. So 312-981-7200 to compete in What's Paul Eating? We have a gift card from Lou Malnati's if you can guess what Paul is eating. So you have to get on the line in order to guess. So 312-981-7200. We do need at least one contestant. 312.
Yeah.
And you'll get a gift card from Lou Malnati's.
Preferably two, but take one.
Yeah, preferably two.
They can play against Chris.
Even though he's sitting right here in the studio.
No, I've got everything hidden. I did it purposely in case.
You will win either way. The winner, the grand prize winner, will get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, and runner-up will get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Gentlemen, can you tell Trucker Rich what a recorder is? Because my understanding is that it's like a plastic flute, sort of is that the best description?
Yeah. I think the first one that I had back in the 1800s was wooden, and I still have it. But
New Jersey.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the pioneer days. No, it's like kind of a cheap, it's sort of like a flute. It's you play it straight like a clarinet, and I think it's just one of the easier, more approachable instruments that kids get.
Right, and it only has holes. I mean, it's not like, it doesn't have like moving parts to it.
Right, there's no valves or anything. You just cover your fingers with it. I think that's the instrument that you, other than guitar, that you hear at the beginning of Stairway to Heaven, which is a song by a very popular band called Led Zeppelin.
Fair enough, yeah. Right. Thank you for reiterating.
Who Patty just learned about.
Yes, Stairway to Heaven.
On a road trip in October.
Yes.
Yeah. But I knew
Led Zeppelin existed in time
just didn't
and
know
space.
Any of their songs.
Stop.
Okay. All right, that's fair. I probably would have guessed that Stairway to Heaven was Pink Floyd, but that's okay. Carrying on. Right, Paul? 312-981-7200. Here, Paul, start eating, and let's see if someone could call in and guess what is Paul
eating.
You have a control sound
so they can adjust, because I think last time people were guessing way off because they don't know what food sounds like when you're chewing it over the airways.
I know what it sounds like, but I'm not going to get into that with you.
312-981-7200
when you can tell or let us know what is Paul eating. Oh, man. See, Chris just made the face that my insides.
Well, these microphones are too nice for this. You get a lot of.
That's what they're made for.
I know these microphones have been. The airwaves have carried the great voices of Roy Leonard and Bobby Collins. Now it's the mastication of food by Paul Farvar Esquire. Yes,
mastication. See, use these big words. I need a thesaurus.
Dictionary. You need a dictionary. That's right. I know. We're doing a callback. All right. So that was the control sound of what
Yes. People want to guess. This is what an almond sounds like when you're chewing it on the air.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a commercial.
That's an almond?
About?
It's an almond?
We're not doing like chewy things.
Imagine if people are like trying to sleep with their headphones on and this is going straight into their brainstem.
I mean, apparently there are people out there that love this kind of stuff. ASMR has become huge recently.
All right, for our ASMR fans, Paul will continue chewing on the air. 312. Paul, you were driving people.
Last time we had to.
I know, we had to drive them away.
People away, but now.
312-981-7200. It is your chance. You will win a gift card or an indoor weather station. So
gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. If nobody calls Paul, this is the last time we're playing this game.
Yeah, I know. I think that's what they want. I think you've buried the game.
No, I didn't mean to bury the game, but I my text screen is locked up too, so I can't tell. There we go. Someone wants to save the game, Paul. Someone just called to save the game. They feel badly
saying,
for you.
No.
Let it die.
We don't know what's going
to
happen.
Let it die. So, here's the thing. You're not supposed to eat after midnight anyway. You're supposed to stop eating. And you have decided to sacrifice your health and your safety for this game.
For the love of the game.
Yes. And do you prefer to eat something healthy in these late hours? Or I mean, I ask that kind of knowing your habits.
I do always opt for a side of fruit over French fries when that's an option. So I feel like I'm kind of being healthy. And when we go eat after, if we have our writing stuff that we do sometimes for comedy, we eat relatively healthy.
We do. I try. Yeah. The waiter doesn't believe I'm the only one that will eat the smoked salmon off the menu. But there
you go. Patty was ordering some fancy stuff from like a Greasy Spoon diner. And they were like, no one's ever ordered this before.
It was delicious. And here I am. I survived, Chris. Chris is on the line with us. Hey, Chris, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for calling. You basically called and single-handedly saved What's Paul Eating Tonight. I know we have another caller, Paul. Paul's very excited because you're not the only one that's helping save the game. But do you feel confident in your skills to be able to guess what Paul is eating?
I may have a good shot of what he's eating.
There you go. Fair enough. All right, let me invite Jim on the line. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling and saving What's Paul Eating as a segment. Just so you know, the city of Chicago can hold the two of you accountable, just so we're all clear on this. Jim, do you feel that your skills in guessing what someone's eating is pretty solid?
Well, I tell you what, I just happened to wake up and I heard, I said, well, it's like something that has to happen. Yeah.
I think that's the right attitude, Jim.
There you go. I like that, Jim. Yeah, I agree. All right. So Chris is going to go first. Do you want a buzzer?
Here's what we'll do. We're going to do
rules.
A buzzer, Chris and Jim. So when you think you know or you're ready to guess, just say your name. Your name is your buzzer. And you can ask any question you want that's a yes or no before you make a guess, too. So you can ask, is it a snack? Is it a fruit? Or, you know, things like that. You have up to two questions before you guess. There's going to be three rounds. Whoever has the most wins at that point wins. Is that clear?
Yes.
Let's just practice really quick. Let's hit your buzzers.
Hit your buzzer now.
Chris. Jim.
Right, okay, that's how it works. Excellent. So if you didn't hear it, Jim, this is what an almond sounds like. This is a control for you guys to get an idea. This is an almond. This is not a game. This part is just so you guys understand. Okay.
Our musician studio, Chris Garcelle, cannot believe that this is happening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, round one. Do we have a drum roll?
I got to find that for you. My sounds. Hold on one second. I have it somewhere.
Round one.
Chris.
Ooh, Chris. Go ahead, Chris. What do you think? Paul, go
ahead. Is it a fruit?
No.
What do you think, Jim?
Candy.
Is it candy?
No, it's not a candy.
Okay.
Okay. You guys can guess. You can each guess.
All right, Chris, you can take a guess at what it is now, a specific food.
Cashews.
Oh, cashews. How about you, Jim?
Jim?
Peanuts.
Ooh. Wow, they both went for specific
Price
nuts.
Is Right rules.
Yeah, no kidding.
Both of you were wrong. It was a potato chip. It was a Ruffles sour cheddar chip.
Well, that's awfully specific, but it was, potato chips. I would have guessed that myself.
Okay, round two. Let's see if you guys can get it. Round two, if you think you know or you want to take a guess, just say hit your buzzers. Drum roll, please.
Sorry about that. That sounds like the same as the last thing you chewed on.
It sounds the same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Who wants to guess?
Chris.
Chris, what do you want to guess or you have a question before you ask?
I'll take a guess. How about a pickle?
Ooh.
Okay. Jim, do you have a guess?
No.
Or do you have a question before you take a guess?
Is it a fruit?
Is it a fruit?
No, it's not a fruit.
No. Paul, you looked at me like you weren't sure.
It's late. Any other questions before you take a guess? Or Chris, you want to stick with pickle?
I'll stick with pickle.
Okay, Jim, do you want to guess or you have a question before you take a guess?
I think I'll take a guess. Popcorn.
Ooh, what?
That is correct.
Get out of here, really?
It was popcorn. Hey. How'd you get that? Wow.
I don't have applause.
All right. Last round. Okay. Chris, if you get this, you send us into a tie, which we haven't ever had. And Jim, if you get this right, you get both prizes. I don't think this is a hard one. So this is round. This is the final round. Patty, can I get a drum roll?
You certainly can.
Chris.
Okay, Chris.
Is it a snack?
It is a snack.
Okay.
Jim, do you have a question before you take a guess?
Is it crunchy?
It's very... It's very crunchy.
I like the
probably one of the crunchiest things you can purchase.
The stalling. Is it a glass of milk? Is it...
Chris, any questions before you guess?
Is it a breakfast food?
No, it's a snack.
Oh, okay. Is it Bugles?
Ooh.
Chips?
God, that sounds
no,
delicious.
It is not. Jim, do you have a guess? You've already won the game, but...
I've already won. You're right.
Do you want to take...
pretzels.
So, Paul, what was it?
It was a corn nut.
Ooh, so Bugles was a pretty decent guess.
I thought every single one of them was a corn nut. Not even joking. The whole time I was like, that's really a corn nut. And then it's like, no, it's not.
Who still buys corn nuts? It's Paul for this game. Congratulations. So who won tonight, Paul? It was
Jim.
It was Jim. Jim, yeah. You have won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And Chris has won a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Hang on the line, and Ro will get your information. And we're going to take a break here. After the news, we got some more music from Chris Corsell, because this took so long to get through that I have to put him through another segment. It is Music Monday, and we are thrilled to welcome to this Allstate Skyline Studios musician Chris Corsell. Here he is playing She's Automatic.
That's awesome.
Chris Corsell in studio with us, and some great music. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
I love your lyrics. You do such a wonderful job sharing, you know, some stuff that's fun and light, but also, you know, meaningful.
Thanks. Yeah.
Who are your inspirations? Like, who are the peoples that you looked up to when you were starting?
Like Bruce, for sure. I think he's the reason I picked up a guitar in the first place.
I think it's like everyone in New Jersey, like you have to, when you start in first grade, they give you an album with your history book.
Yeah. Pretty much. It's like, this guy.
Yeah.
You know, do it. But yeah, I think I'm like, before I had a guitar and knew how to play one, I cut out a piece of cardboard to look like Bruce's Telecaster and was like playing that in my room.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I think that brought me in. Prince is a huge one. And I feel like I can't sing that song without saying Elvis Costello.
That's what
sure. weighs on me, you know?
That's what I was just going to say. Like, I'm like, you have a very Joe Jackson, Elvis Costello feel to your stuff. Okay. And then your songwriting, too.
Thanks.
Do Patty, you know yes. who Elvis Costello is.
I believe his actual name is Declan, isn't it?
It is. Whoa! Patty putting some big numbers up.
I have a son named Declan.
She has a background with Elvis Costello. But Joe yes. Jackson, however...
Didn't he play for the White Sox during the 1990s?
Yes, and he was also Michael Jackson's father, but yeah. totally different. She won't know.
Do you guys, have you watched Leaving Neverland?
I have not.
Not yet.
Are you going to? Do you think you...
I will.
Okay.
But I haven't yet.
And I know this is a conversation that comes up a lot, is can you still listen to the music knowing what you know about the artists? And I you know...
Where do you draw the line? I mean, if you go back and all the artists...
I guess once you know.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's once you know, and then you make a decision individually based on that information.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. I mean, it's a personal decision. I'm not saying that everyone should, you know... disregard the body of work that of someone they've admired previously, but I mean, I grew up loving Bill Cosby, and I can't listen to him anymore. Amen, yeah,
and I feel like there's a couple of levels of you can, if you enjoy their work on in your own head. I mean, it's different than going out and like cracking jokes or sing or like playing that song in a jukebox or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like making everybody share it with you is different,
right?
You know. Like, I had friends in a wedding band, and one of them was just like, let's play Ignition. And, like, half of them were like, not this week.
R. Kelly,
who is...
I'm sorry. And that's just not just for me, by the way. I think there are a lot of listeners that wouldn't say... sure. Wouldn't know that... What was it? Ignition?
Ignition is his most popular song.
But just
is
like, it really? You know,
I thought something like, I'll Fly, like something...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe I can fly.
That's also big. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Right. If you heard Ignition, you'd recognize it.
Sure. Let's say that.
But then it gets divisive if you're out like playing songs and stuff like that. Or
I'll change a radio station like if there's a if there's a song playing that I just can't anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so how do you with the Michael Jackson thing though? That's a hard question because how can you?
It's so pervasive in our
culture.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a big part of our culture, and his music is so good. You know, do you? Maybe you don't support him as much or whatnot. I mean, you're not going to see him in concert anymore.
Right.
But how do you draw the line?
Right. I mean, just for my own personal taste, I don't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everyone's different.
There's allegations that are serious allegations. I haven't seen it, but I've heard.
These two guys, it's really, and I mean, they also back it up with audio recordings and with, you know, one of the kids was on tour with him and, you know, there's a lot of photos. I mean, like, Michael Jackson used to spend time at this family's house like he was one of the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he would, like, spend the night there. And the moms were like, you know, one of them said,
yeah.
I would do his laundry and he was really childlike and never thought much of it. You know, at first she was hesitant when he wanted her son to spend the night and then spend the night, but also in the same bed. And then it goes on and on. And you're like,
There's all kinds of creepy levels.
Yeah. I mean, there's a point where you are convincing yourself that everything is okay, too. And she admits to that, both of the moms. And it was really hard to watch. And I also wanted to make sure we talk a little about something that Vic Vaughn was discussing in the news, which is this new safety a website to help you stay safe when you are in a ride share. I know that I have to find the website and maybe we'll ask him in a moment, but when you are getting into a Lyft or an Uber, and it sounds like they're even going more so for awareness, is to make sure that they say they need to tell you their name and to say your name, right? Mm-hmm. But I never get into a car without looking at the license plates. I pulled up in front of my house and I just pulled up, and a lot of times, do you do this when you, like, even though you were about to go into your house, I still, like, do one last minute thing in the car on Facebook. I know you don't because you're not on social media, but I'll do one last thing or send off, like, if there's a text that has come in while I was driving, I address it when I pull up. So I was sitting in front of my house, and I guess the doors must have been unlocked, and this girl jumps into my back seat, and I was so startled that I just kind of sat there for a second. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, can I help you? I mean, I really said, can I help you? And it was so unnerving for me. I just like sat there for a moment and she goes, are you not my Lyft? And I go, no. And she said she was waiting for a Toyota Camry, which I get, but I drive a Prius, which are pretty distinctive cars. And even then, she was convinced, like, wasn't this a Camry? That might be, even if it were, you didn't check the plates, and I'm not your driver.
Yeah.
You didn't check any of this out. You just got in the car and waited for me to drive.
Yeah.
Ro, have you ever gotten into the wrong car?
I have. Mm. I told you via my horror story in California when I first got there.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I drunkenly got into the wrong car. Thank God nothing happened.
Right.
And I figured it out very quickly that this was not my car. But yeah, you just got to be careful. I've watched my sister do it.
Yeah.
So we live in an apartment complex and she has a car. So don't ask me why she's not driving it. But she called an Uber and the Uber got there. But there was a car in the parking lot that we share with the other apartment building across from us. And she hopped in the car in front of her Uber. And so you could just hear the Uber driver like honking the horn, letting her know like, no,
that don't get
the
that
wrong
car.
Oh, but it was the same car. We'll give her that. It was the same car, same color. It had the Uber sticker, all that.
I mean, people come into my car all the time, especially back in the day when it used to be black cars. Mm-hmm. I have a coupe though, and people would still like hop in the car. You're like, no. Wow.
Right. When you approach a shared ride, a car share, look at the license plate, make sure it matches. Look at the type of... I've had a guy pull up in the wrong car with the right plates, and I'm like, I'm not getting in your car. He's like, no, really, I just, you know, I've had to change my plate. It was like really not... I was like, I'm sorry, creepy, I'm not getting in your car. Ask them when you open the door, ask them who they're here for, so they have your name, and then ask them who they are. Yeah. You have to... Why are we putting our... I mean, I know that we get into cabs all the time, And that's weird too to me. I guess.
But there's a cab. There's a company behind it that.
But who could
ostensibly?
I can't say that word. Ostensibly.
You need a thesaurus.
See, I do. It's a dictionary.
I think we're still in this user like the user era kind of space with Uber and Lyft because, like you say, we're used to cabs or our friends for that matter coming to pick us up. So. Right. Getting into this new, like, anybody's car could be the car, and everybody seems to do both Uber and Lyft. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just weird spacing and weird caution that we're not used to having, I feel like.
Yeah.
It is, it is, it's just scary out there. And so if you're not sure what we're talking about, there was a University of South Carolina student who was murdered because she got into the wrong car.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's, that's,
I'm sure it happens,
it's awful. What were you going to say?
No, I think the key is the license plate because they're so specific.
Right.
And it takes 2 seconds. A lot of people aren't familiar with make or models like some people aren't familiar with artists or their songs. It's just the way it works.
But everybody can latch on to a license
everyone
plate.
A license plate is something that everyone can look at and can identify.
So please be safe. And if you're not sure, if I don't want to scare people from using it. I continue to use rideshare.
Yeah.
I use Lyft. I use Uber regularly. It is a safe alternative to, you know, if you're out drinking or if you are afraid to walk home alone, if you're someplace where you can't get a cab. I'm not saying that you should, you know, not use cabs either. I encourage you to use a safe form of transportation. But if you're going to be informed and, you know, be preventative.
It's totally safe if you check, right?
Exactly.
I will say this. I always tell people, especially women, make sure that somebody knows where you're going. My friends can't go anywhere without, or when I had an iPhone, without Find Friends on. Or some kind of tracking that lets me know if you made it to where you're going to be.
That's great.
At all times. Because people are crazy. Even when you get out. Like, I've had a friend, she took a Uber home and she was fine. The Uber didn't do anything, but she got robbed right in front of her house. So it's like, I'm very, very particular about just making sure that people know, your friends need to know where you are, or at least your family. My mom knows I'm at work. She calls me every single night and makes sure that I'm here at work, even though that's what she knows. And we need those kind of precautions.
I agree. You have to be careful. And again, there is a website called whatsmyname.org. And it is a website that they have a mission to educate the world on rideshare safety. And this is Samantha Josephson's family that did this. Again, the student that was murdered at the University of South Carolina. So let's take a break here. But again, you can do it safely. You can go out and enjoy yourselves. But, you know, when this girl got into my car, I thought, I'm not going to drive off with her. But just so gallantly getting in my car, like ready to go.
That happened to me once too.
Oh, and really?
I thought you shouldn't be getting in this car just because it is this rusted out. Do not get into any car that looks like this.
You've seen my car. The front end of it is held together with a duct tape. I'm like, what a sorry excuse for an Uber driver I would be if this were the car you were getting into.
And
I would...
Chris is driving an IROC Z Camaro, which is even more bizarre.
No, that would be kind of like, oh, it's a retro ride. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI,
on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me.
Tell me something good I meant to share with you, and I will in a moment. I want to thank a former U.S. Marshal Chief Deputy of the Northern District for texting me and telling me that he has a whole thing on rideshare safety in his feed, so you can find him on Facebook, and maybe we'll have him on the show one night to talk about how you can be safe if you're going to jump into a shared car when you're going to get into a Lyft or an Uber. My other tell me something good is that I was on the Kennedy yesterday at about 1:40, again, fearing for my life as other people seem to forget how to drive in the snow, and it would not stop coming down. It was a merciless snowfall yesterday. It seemed constant. For some reason, it felt more personal than any snowfall we had had all year long, perhaps because it happened as we were supposed to be enjoying the wonderful fruits of spring. Perhaps it was perfect for the day before tax day. I don't know, but it was aggressive. And today was sunshine and happiness. And forefront of spring is, it smelled like spring. I mean, yeah, maybe because everything was damp, but my something good is that today was so beautiful in contrast to yesterday. And actually, if you follow Vince Maranto, comedian Vince Maranto, also a friend and contributor of the show, he has a photo 24-hour difference of what it looked like yesterday and today. And it was kind of like when you go skiing in California, where it feels warm, but there's snow and it seems disconnected. So anyway, that's what today felt like. How about you, Paul? Do you want to tell me something good?
I'm just excited to be back home for the next couple of weeks. I've been traveling a lot, and then I get to stay here for 3 weeks. I get to do a show with you on Wednesday at
Tivoli. That's right,
Downers Grove. I got shows all weekend at the Laugh Factory. Follow me at paulfcomedy.com or my Instagram, Paul Farvar. And you and I dropped Singles Only podcast today too with Mike Cronin.
It was Mike Cronin, the one that I want to make friends with him so I could give him some advice on dating. I think I want to take him under my wing.
I think he's dating someone now since the podcast. Yeah.
All right, good.
That podcast was when we did it live at Cubby Bear.
Don't let her listen to the podcast then.
Yeah. He was nice on it. I think it was good. But singlesonlypodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Excellent. And we actually just added another show. We have two shows coming up in June. We're going to be at Whiskey Acres the last Friday of June. Yes, we are going to be in DeKalb.
We're going to be at Whiskey Acres.
Yeah, and then we're going to be at the Lake Geneva Theater for Bonkers on June 15th. Excellent. So we'll tell you more about those shows as we get closer. And our new friend Chris Corsell in studio for Music Monday, tell us your something good.
Oh, tonight I got to hear a bunch of guitarists take their first guitar solos when I was teaching at Old Town School.
Oh, that's great.
For some, their fourth or fifth guitar solo, but a few people like their actual very first guitar solo, and I just strongly encourage that.
Is it an adult class or is it wide-ranging of ages?
Yeah, all grown-up folks.
I have to ask you this because I'm pretty sure Griffin won't listen to the podcast. My son is 15 years old, and I'm guessing you go through this when you have students. There are people who are very mechanical and they sound great, but you can tell that they're thinking about it rather than feeling it. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to, or is it that come with time to bridge that?
I think memorization helps.
Yeah.
I think if you're still like reading a song off a sheet or something like that then you're going to be locked into that sheet. But the more you can dissociate and just kind of let your fingers do it for you, and then be a listener, like listen the way anybody else would.
Right, then you're feeling it.
Yeah, and then I feel like that elevates your playing.
It's a little muscle memory too, if you're playing it enough and memorizing it enough.
Yeah, a lot of memorization and playing, and then you do that just so that you can like take a step back and listen and put a little life in it, hopefully.
Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, like when you sing.
Do you feel that you feel the music, Paul?
I don't even read music. I always learn by hearing songs.
Oh, really?
I have perfect pitch, so I can listen to it.
Wait, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I have pit, like, maybe yeah. I'm using the wrong
perfect
word.
Pitch?
Yeah, I can hear a song, I can know what key it's in, and then I can play it.
So you have perfect pitch guitar. And perfect vision.
Vision, yeah. Two really good things.
Yeah, I don't know how.
And a perfect body.
I don't
What's
know.
Up, ladies? No. Yeah, I can, I don't, I was telling Chris off the air that I don't play anymore, so I have no calluses on my fingers as much as I used to, so it's hard for me to, I know what the songs are, but my brain, or my, the mechanics on my fingers can't do it. It gets frustrating. Yeah.
Right.
Or there's songs that are really hard to play, like Jeff Buckley. I know what he's playing, I just can't play it, because he's so good.
I don't know who that is.
I know. All right, I just threw that in there as a callback.
Do you know who Jeff Buckley is, bro?
Nope.
Okay, then.
I'm not alone in this.
No, I'm not alone.
People are like, at home, he's good. Like, oh, boy. He's like a legend. Yeah.
All right, then. Hey, Ro.
Hey.
Do you want to tell me something good?
Actually, sure. So my something good is, aside from going to visit my old college tomorrow, that's going to be interesting. A very, very close friend of mine has been just going through it. It's been a hard, like, year and a half for him. And he's finally moving into his own place. So I'm super, super happy for him. Super proud of him.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah. It's about time, because the place he lives in sucks. I'm not going to get into detail, but it sucks.
All right.
So I'm glad that he gets to go home to his own comfortable space.
That's great. Man, I'm trying to think, the first time I moved out and lived on my own, it was in Evanston. And it was weird, because I'd never lived alone, which is why I got cats, because I was that girl on campus. Do you have to help your friend move, by any chance?
I am going to help him move.
Okay. It's a young person's game. I'll tell you that. I can't help people move anymore.
There's a comedian, John Huck, who I worked with this weekend in Minnesota, has a joke about helping his friends move. That it's his clothes. It's really funny. He's actually at Zany's this week.
When you're moving furniture, there comes that moment where you're like, well, this is how I end up killing my father on the stairs, right? Because I mean, my dad was walking backwards with like a couch, and I thought, how horrible am I going to feel if I let go? I was like struggling to hold on to it. Yeah. My arms, it's like unwieldy, and I just can't get, I couldn't get a grip on it.
When was the last time someone asked you to help them move? That's when you know you're an adult.
It's been a while. Yeah. But my husband and I were watching our neighbors. They had someone was moving out, and the moving truck was blocking. It was there all day, and we would see them move like one box, every hour or so. And I thought, what is going on here? This truck needs to get off the block. It's one of those things where there are certain situations where people take a lot of liberty with how much room they can take up on a block or take up an alley or anything else like that. Mm-hmm. We were trying really hard to be patient, but you don't really have to, because that person's moving out, so they're not going to be your neighbor anymore.
That's true.
You can probably
let them hear it.
Yeah, let them know what you think.
Yeah.
Hey, move this.
Give them back their shovel.
Not for nothing. By the way, one of our listeners said that their shovels were put away, and they blame themselves for the new. Oh, here we go. One of our something goods before we go. After 8 weeks in the hospital, my new baby born girl, Lyra, is coming home, and that's my something good. That's from Matt in Woodstock.